I remember 23 years ago when I walked in through those front doors, people like, well, one of the first people I met was Dave Power, who welcomed me along, and I just think it was such an important and formative time in my Christian life, and praise God for the ministry of this church and the great friends that I have here. Let me open in prayer. Father, we know that you're at work bringing restoration to our broken world, a world that's overrun with sin and evil, and we long for the return of Jesus who will bring justice. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that through Christ we are your children, and you've enabled us to redeem the time wisely to live for you. We ask, Heavenly Father, as we hear your word today and consider the ministry of compassion, what role we might be able to play. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see how the clicker works. Yeah. Do I need to do anything? Is it? Beautiful. UNICEF estimates that half of the kids in the world live in poverty. So that's 1.1 billion kids that live in poverty. Oh, this is great. I've got the... I haven't seen this before. Just that my notes are in the way now, but that's okay. And of these children, 500 million live in what we would call extreme poverty in the developing world. So their day-to-day survival is endangered. So what can you and I do? I'm just one person. What can I do to help solve the problem of global poverty? Well, we know that the answer to every important question is always in the Bible. God says, when you harvest the grain in your land, don't harvest the grain in the corners of your fields or gather what is left after you're finished. Leave it for poor people and foreigners. I am Yahweh, your God. So you might see in the top corner, there's a little blue square, a little blue corner. So that's compassion's constant reminder of Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. You see it if you're a compassion supporter. You'll see it in our correspondence. It's in our banners. It's everywhere. But it's not just this verse. There are hundreds of verses like this throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, and throughout the New Testament. So God is reminding me that everything that he blesses me with, and we are extremely blessed living in Sydney, Australia, everything that God blesses me with is not all for me to keep. We leave our corner, and God multiplies those blessings in the lives of other people. This is Begens. He's also in the poster over here. Begens is a senator in Haiti. When Begens was 4 years old, his father died, and his family was instantly in poverty. There was no breadwinner, and this soon became extreme poverty. In places like Haiti, there's no Centrelink, there's no Medicare, there's no life insurance, but there was a Christian sponsor who left a small corner for a young boy and his family. And today, God is using Begens to bring change in Haiti, bringing change in Jesus' name. And Begens plans to run for president, if God is willing, in the next presidential election, in order to live out Psalm 82, to defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, to rescue the weak and needy, and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Because sometimes the poor are oppressed by wicked rulers and wicked regimes. Sometimes it's rebel murderers. Many of you will know the name Joseph Kony, who in Uganda intentionally orphaned kids to use them for his own evil purposes. There's another kind of evil in the world too. It's indifference. Indifference perpetuates global poverty. People have given me their solutions. I've spoken to a lot of people about global poverty, and they've given me their solutions. Someone recently said to me, look, the best way to stop global poverty is for poor people not to have kids. People in the developing world simply shouldn't have kids. And there's a lot I could probably say about that, and you could probably say about that too, but what I can certainly say is in the Bible, Jesus strongly affirms kids. Others may ignore them and shoo them away, but Jesus says, bring them to me. Because kids are the future and kids are God's precious image bearers. And solving poverty is not as simple as people in the developing world not having kids. Let me give you an example. This is Nawadi with her two-year-old son, Muhammad Daga. I met them at a church in Central Java that partners with Compassion. I met them in February. Now, 3 years ago, she was working as a maid in Jakarta for a very wealthy man, a married man, and he raped her. Now, he was wealthy and she wasn't. So you can guess what happened. There were no charges laid. So she was oppressed by this man's personal sin the evil of that, she was also oppressed by the structural sin in her society, which ensured that the wealthy man wasn't charged. But then there was another layer of injustice, just to show that the causes of poverty are so complex. There was another layer of injustice. She went back to her Muslim community, and she was an outcast in that community. She was pregnant as a result of the rape. No one wanted to know her because she wasn't married and she was pregnant. And that was at a time when she should have been embraced by the community, because sadly, both her parents also died within 6 months of each other, and she was very much on her own. She tried working from home, making false eyelashes. These are the tools of her trade. And for that work, for 6 hours work, she earned about 30 Australian cents. And she was rapidly losing hope. Now, according to the World Health Organization, I didn't know this until after I came back from Indonesia and did a bit of research, 1,500 people commit suicide every day in Indonesia because of poverty. That's a stunning statistic. But along with many others in Compassion's programs, this mother and child, they're not only surviving, they are now thriving because they have been drawn into a loving Christian community. So the ministry team from the local Presbyterian church found Norwadi, and they were invited into Compassion's programs to be cared for. And she told me about the love of the women at her church. For example, her son had recently had diarrhea for a week. He survived. But you probably know that many children in the developing world don't survive. It's a leading cause of death in developing countries. What you may not know is the statistic. 19,000 kids under the age of 5 die every day from preventable causes like diarrhea. Now, thankfully, the Compassion Program Coordinator, a bit behind on my slide, sorry. Thankfully, the Compassion Program Coordinator, who was a former sponsor child herself, now she works in the church, she organised for the sick child to be taken to hospital. There was no way Norwadi could have paid for her son to go to hospital. So Compassion paid for the cost of the medical care. And the other mums in the church did everything they could to help her. They cooked for her when she returned. They gave her clothes. They cared in many, many ways. In addition to that, a Compassion Sponsors or a Christian Supporters monthly contribution covered all of her essential needs. That is now a photograph of a relatively well-stocked kitchen and dining room, and she is grateful for what she has there, more than enough for her and her child to survive on. But it was very bare in her kitchen before she entered the program. So there's a generous Compassion supporter, there's a group of loving mums, but behind both is a generous God who's doing great things through his global church. He's bringing restoration through his global church. These are her friends. They're not part of that tiny, tiny upper class elite in Indonesia that has lots of money, but they are rich in community and they are rich in the risen Christ. Now, at my home church, I've been preaching through Revelation for the last few years. I only finished last week, I think, or the week before. And I was reminded of the church in Smyrna when I met these women. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty, but you are rich. So a community of believers, Christian believers, love their neighbour. And Christians were salt and they were light in their Muslim majority village, and God was glorified. And Norwadi also heard Jesus speaking through God's word. She heard him saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So she was gripped by the compassion of the gospel in a really beautiful way. She was gripped by that love and generosity that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, from knowing him, from knowing the generosity of Jesus, who didn't give 5% or 10% or 20%, he gave his whole life. He gave everything for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The Bible tells us that the eternal Son of God left his heavenly riches and he was born in a stable, and then he lived the perfect life that none of us could live, and then he gave that life for you and me as an atoning sacrifice. So when this passage speaks about poverty, sorry, I just destroyed your computer. When this passage, I'll pay for that later. When this passage speaks about poverty, it's speaking about Jesus' death on the cross. That's the ultimate generosity to you and me. paying for our sins. But the Bible also says that Jesus defeated death for us. So we not only receive forgiveness, we also receive eternal life through Christ Jesus. Now, what else has Jesus generously given us? Well, he's given us everything, hasn't he? He's also given us his righteousness. The Bible says that through Christ, God already sees us as perfect. We stand in Jesus' righteousness. But he's also at work in all of us, if we trust in Jesus, changing us, conforming us to the image of Christ. And that is happening because, again, Christ Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to live in his people, bringing assurance and joy. And through Christ, we are promised our full inheritance as God's children in God's eternal kingdom. And the Bible says that's what true and lasting riches look like. Any riches that we have on earth now, they're fleeting, they're passing. So you can't be richer than knowing the Lord Jesus. That's why Compassion's ministry is Christ-centered. So every child in Compassion programs hears the good news. Since last year alone, 128,000 kids and mums made a first-time commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes a lot of children living in countries where Christians are a tiny, tiny minority. Now, nobody is coerced to believe. You don't have to be a Christian to remain in sponsorship. But many kids are excited to hear about the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Compassion is also child-focused. Why are we child-focused? Because kids are especially vulnerable to the effects of sin and evil in our world. Kids are exploited and kids are hurt. And that's not what God created kids for. So a crucial part of Compassion's ministry is ongoing child protection training. It's great to see that you guys have got ongoing child protection training here. It's happening in the developing world as well through Compassion. For churches, church workers, any volunteers that work with the kids, also compulsory training for the kids to recognise what's appropriate and what's not, and for the parents and anybody else living in the house with the child. So to remain sponsored, there has to be ongoing training. But Compassion's also working hard to prevent child abuse and sexual slavery in far more than the 26 countries that we officially work in. We're doing work all over the world, including in the Middle East. So we're Christ-centered, we're child-focused, and we're also church-based.
Most of the children grow up in a place where...
All of Compassion's programs are delivered through 6,500 evangelical churches of various denominations. Some Anglican, some Presbyterian. I went to a Mennonite church as well when I was in Java. Some Pentecostal and some independent evangelical. Now in Java, I met this pastor on the right. He was a former lawyer and he was a super successful businessman. But he saw huge spiritual and physical needs in his country. So he went and studied theology for 5 years, and now he pastors a rapidly growing church in one of the toughest parts of Indonesia. And his church is reaching out to families who, through Compassion, are being saved from extreme poverty. I sat with him and the ministry team, and we all talked about what we did. They said, "What do you do at Compassion?" I said, "Well, I go speak in churches, and I try to get kids sponsored." And the whole team cheered because you and I together enable their church to help reach out and encourage those who are hurting. Now, it costs $48 a month to sponsor a child. It's tax deductible. That's basically $1.60 a day. There are a number of these forms. You saw the clip from Tanzania earlier. On the table furthest from the door, there are kids from Tanzania, and they're all close together. Now, the reason for that is a lot of churches are going overseas. They're doing church trips for a week or 2 weeks. And that's a great encouragement to us that people want to go and meet their Compassion sponsor kids because they come back and they see how well Compassion works and they tell their friends about it. That's one of the reasons why Compassion is rapidly growing. So if you want to sponsor a child, choose a child. People say which child, it doesn't matter. All the children will eventually get sponsored. The pool just doesn't keep increasing. There's a biography of the child on the back and a birth date and country on the front, but kids on that table are from Tanzania. You take out the inside form, which is linked to this child, fill out the form, give it to me or to Christine. Thanks, Christine, for coming along to help today. Christine's an advocate. She's come to advocacy training and has heard a lot more about Compassion, and she's helping out today, so thanks a lot for that. Now, what I want you to know is that every cent of your $1.60 is accounted for. And every cent is used faithfully. Now, Charity Navigator has been America's largest charity evaluator for 13 years. People say to me at presentations, oh, I really want to do something, but I'm just concerned about how the money might be used. Well, Charity Navigator has given Compassion the maximum rating in every area for the last 13 years in terms of financial integrity, transparency. My own personal testimony is that my family has supported the Ministry of Compassion for 13 years through sponsorship. In Acts 20, the Lord Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I want to give you an example of what this looks like in my family. Jairus Wonder is the Indonesian boy. He's the middle boy in the top row. My 8-year-old son went through a box of profiles. I'd been to a conference and there were some kids that remained unsponsored. So I brought them home and there's Marky going through reading all the profiles. He said, "Dad, I want to sponsor a child." So he found a little boy, and in the bio he worked out it was a Muslim boy with learning difficulties, he said, because he needs compassion more than most kids. So now they're writing to each other, and Marky is praying for him every day, and he hopes to visit him one day, and he's already bugging me about sponsoring another child. So my 8-year-old son is excited about helping someone else, and that's a good thing to be excited about, isn't it? And it's been a real blessing for Marky as a young Christian to think this way. I don't know, some of you will know Marky, he loves Lego. So he will use any spare money. If someone gives him $50 for his birthday, which is coming up soon, anyone gives him money, he will go and buy Lego and he'll finish it in 5 minutes, then he'll want more Lego. But now he is using money, he's starting to think differently. He is using money that he's been given and saved to help a boy with far less than him. So Marky and Jairus Wonder, they are part of a biblical approach to global poverty that Compassion has been following for 62 years. And I believe that God is changing the world through Compassion's Child Sponsorship Program. But it's not only my personal opinion. A professor of economic development conducted a long-term study. He asked many organisations to be scrutinised, but only Compassion said yes and were willing to leave themselves open to scrutiny to see if the program works, because we know it works. Now, results were published last year in a prestigious international economics journal. Before I went to Moore College, my first degree was in economics, and there was a journal that was extremely antagonistic towards Christians, and they were amazed by the research. And I was amazed that they published the research. I want to show you the summary of that research that was in Christianity Today, I think in April last year. The researchers said that Compassion's sponsorship program is changing the world because it provides strong spiritual direction and it trains people to be givers rather than receivers. So Compassion sponsor kids are 40 to 75% more likely to be in church leadership as adults, so depending on which country they've been sponsored in, and 30 to 75% more likely to be community leaders. They're empowered when they hear the good news, because poverty lies to kids. Poverty is a very deep thing. Poverty lies to a child and says, "You're useless. You live on a rubbish dump, you're rubbish. No one cares about you. No one wants to know your name." But kids are transformed and they're empowered when they realise that Christ died for them. Let me try another clip, see how this one works. So Compassion sponsorship is not only about healthy food and clean water, although providing these basic needs is a big part of what Compassion does. But kids are also hearing about the resurrected Jesus, and they're hearing about it in gripping verses like Revelation chapter 1 verses 17 to 18. "I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever.'" So imagine being a child from a non-Christian family and imagine hearing these stunning verses for the first time. Now imagine also being able to read these verses for yourself in a family where there's been generation after generation of illiteracy, hearing Jesus, who conquered death, giving the most frequent command in the Bible, "Don't be afraid." In one urban slum that I visited, I met 12-year-old kids who, 1 year before I met them, were illiterate, just like their parents and their parents before them. But after being tutored 48 weeks out of 52, by compassion volunteers like the dedicated Christian mentor on the left. They're now at school and they love learning. And it wasn't just the mentors telling me that. It wasn't the church workers telling me that as well. It was the families I visited. Their own mum said, "My child has been transformed. They're now able to read. They're able to count. They're able to do simple sums. And they're reading the Bible for themselves." And generational illiteracy has been crushed in 1 year through the work of compassion. Now let's fast forward 6 years in the life of a compassion sponsor child from the age of 12 to 18. And let's head to a small village that I visited in the mountains in February. This is Melissa. From the age of 12, Melissa has dreamt of being a teacher, the first educated person in her family. Now she is now 18. And thanks to compassion and her local church, her dream is now becoming a reality. She also has a part-time secretarial job that's actually relatively well-paying in her community because she was taught admin skills during sponsorship. So when kids are sponsored, at the age of 18, they're not just released and without any skills to live. They're actually taught something that's the equivalent of a trade, so they're able to earn money once they finish sponsorship. And that's an amazing thing, because when families are locked into poverty, it's usually the same pattern throughout their family history. It's just day-to-day survival, living in the worst conditions, like this rubbish dump I saw kids living in February. Now, kids who are sponsored through compassion fill out a little booklet. It's an ongoing thing they have to fill out. It's a booklet called My Dream for Tomorrow. Compassion Church partners, they ask kids to dream of what they might like to do. And they don't just say, dream and believe in your heart and everything will be fantastic. They actually work hard at helping kids like Aldo and Jeffrey, two uni students that I met in February. They work hard helping them to achieve achievable dreams and mentoring them and equipping them and giving them every basic need in the meantime as well. One reason I feel strongly about Compassion's ministry, many of you will know who that is, that's my mum. She was forced to leave school at the age of 8. She grew up in the Greek Civil War, in the poverty of the Greek Civil War. But she had to leave school to go and work in a field for long hours, along with her four sisters. Because the family was poor, and well, you know, women, they don't really need an education, so out you go. And I've heard stories about poverty from my mum, stories that she would rather forget. She sponsored a young girl, Jalial, the girl in the top left, to ensure that Jalial gets the nutrition that my mum wishes she had, and she gets the education that my mum wishes she had, and the life-saving healthcare that my mum wishes her baby sister had. My mum recently received her first letter from Jalial, and she was taken aback. She was overcome when she read this. "My whole family is praying for you." Because a sponsor's impact on a whole family is enormous. And so is their gratitude. And kids and families around the world are praying for their sponsors. And they're thanking God for their sponsors. And they're thankful that they're being released from poverty in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not going to have the last word. I'm going to let these Indonesian kids have the last word. I'm going to show you an amateurish clip that I filmed on my phone, to show you some kids that represent the kids around the world that are thanking Jesus. These Javanese kids are praising the Lamb of God who became poor for us so that we can become eternally rich. Thanks for listening to me today. And if you want to speak more about sponsorship, please speak to Christine or myself. Let's see how this works.